Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Ya Umar, Ya Umar, Ya Umar.
Huzur Akram sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam ne irshad farmaya, mere baad Abu Bakr o Umar ki iqtida karna, mere aasmanon par do wazir hain.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners, today, alhamdulillah, again, mashallah, we have Hazrat Mawlana Salman Yunus joining us on this day, the 5th of Ramadan, 1446, other areas of the world. It is the 6th of Ramadan. Mawlana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mawlana, all is well on your side. How's the Taraweeh going in every Ramadan?
Jee, alhamdulillah. Everything going well. Everything going smoothly. Taraweeh is moving by very fast. It's like the fast are also going. And we just have to try and make the most of every moment of Ramadan.
Just yesterday, this thought processed that, you know, people always say, they're always complaining that our ulama in South Africa, they are too rigid, they're not open-minded enough and this and that. But I was saying that's not something to complain about. Because if you take it in the world today, how many people are actually practicing on what they're supposed to be? And the reason for that decline is because the ulama stopped holding on to what we've been doing all along. And that is in the Haramain. If you see that, we were just speaking about it earlier also, from 20 rakats, it went to 10 rakats, and this drop. So this is something that we're supposed to be happy about, that our seniors, our ulama, Rabbaniyin, they are standing firm and holding on to this rope of Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Khulafai Rashideen, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and of course the Awliyaullah, the Fuqaha, all of this, because this whole mindset has all changed now. That I was just speaking to one foreigner who's moved here for quite some years now. And he said, the problem is we're going too deep in. But then I said, look at, just see where, just take your own example. And your, in, because he admitted himself that, I don't want to say which country and from where they in that. But in their circles, they're starting to say that music is fine. So once you open that door and you're just going down this road of opening different doors of innovations and haram, even going to those extents, then there's no limit, because actually you're going to reach a point where you're not going to worship Allah, you're just going to worship Shaitan. So alhamdulillah, just as I was asking you now about Ramadan and Taraweeh, 20 rakats, alhamdulillah, we must say, we must be happy and proud and to say that we are practicing upon what Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did, but he didn't do it in public. And the reason was because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was, of course, scared that this must not become compulsory upon the Ummah. But Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did say, must hold on to the Khulafai Rashideen. And Umar radiallahu anhu then made it clear this is part of deen. Since then, the Haramain, at least, we're not speaking of other areas, but there, that was 20 rakats, and that's alone a major proof for it. So I just thought of this, and alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Mulana, you can also just share one, two aspects, and, you know, just reinforcing this mind into our listeners, that we should be happy for these reasons, and then we'll go to the main topic, inshallah.
Jima, alhamdulillah, what you have mentioned is of absolute importance and absolute necessity to be discussed and to be mentioned to one and all. Because you see, if we just go in history for a moment, and before we actually tackle what Mawlana has mentioned, if you study all the previous nations, all the previous religions, that what caused them to water down, what caused them to basically come out of being the mainstream and out of the originality was where people stopped following them as they were meant to be followed. If you look at a simple example of Christianity, when it started off in its original pure form, And then after some time, where people stop practicing Christianity correctly, and they were moving away, becoming more involved in the world, as we see happening with the Muslims today, that they are getting so involved in the world that they're forgetting about practicing Islam as it ought to be practiced. So then what the church and that did, what did the popes and them do? They said, let us find something where we can win them back to come to the church just to get numbers. They just wanted numbers. They wasn't concerned about keeping the original religion. So one of the ways they saw was, in the festivities of the pagans where they used to get big numbers, they thought if we have our functions of the church and we make it at the time of the same where the pagans' traditions are, then we'll get the big numbers also, because people will come to the church while thinking they are getting a festival, etc. And that's how we see Christmas came about and these things of Easter and things was made, so that we're getting numbers coming. They were just more interested in numbers, not really worried about what was part of the original religion of Christianity. Then they saw where music became so common, and in Christianity, even it was not permissible, it was not there. So what they decided now, let's introduce a choir into the church, let's introduce a band into the church. People will come, they're getting entertained. We're getting our numbers, we're getting our figures coming in, we're getting people funding us. So we are happy, but at the expense of Christianity, this was done. At the expense of losing the original religion. And there was no one who did what the Muslims, our true ulama, al-haq, are doing today for Islam, where they said, we will hold firm to the original Islam. And our ulama, Allah Ta'ala reward them in great abundance and keep them with us for many, many years to come. And when Allah Ta'ala decides to take them away, may Allah Ta'ala replace them with a badr ni'mah, someone of same stature or even greater, to uphold this practice of theirs. That we see in an era where Islam is so, what we'll say, so known, but the practicing of it is so rare. This is where, more importantly, the teachings of Islam needs to be upheld. And Allah Ta'ala says that in the Quran that we are the protectors. Allah is the protector of this religion of Islam. So it will be protected. How it will be protected, that is in the control and the power of Allah Ta'ala. And one of these ways of protection of deen is via these ulama that speak out and hold on to our firm deen. Actually, I know you mentioned this here, but it was something on my mind also, because just recently, as I mentioned yesterday, that we live within our community, within our circles, and we think, okay, Islam is fine. Everyone is practicing Islam correctly. There's no need, no worry. Why is the ulama speaking out on these issues? But look at my neighbors, look at my friends, look at the masjid I'm going. Everyone's doing things properly. But that's only one drop amongst the millions and billions of Muslims in the world. Majority of the Muslims, unfortunately, have taken that part which is not even a pure, proper deen of Islam. And this is due to getting mixed up with the modern world, the modern rituals, the modern societies. All this has been integrated in a person's life. And now, that Islam, what they want, is same what the church did. They want to try and mold Islam, they want to try and change Islam to keep up with to try and keep the values of, what you say, keep the ways of the West, keep the ways of the Kufar, and try to make themselves happy. And they know it's part of Islam also. As we see so often now with the Nasheed that are coming out, the Nasheed artists, people are saying, oh, this is Islamic music, na'udhubillah. How can it be Islamic music where it's word by word taking from the music of the non-Muslims, just changing one two words around, and then the tune, everything is mimicking that. When a person is listening to that, where is their mind going? And when you look at the celebration, the way people are dressing and coming, and they say, no, nothing is wrong. But who are you dressing like? Who are you resembling? So these are all issues which are very pertinent and needs to be addressed. And alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala reward the ulama, as you say, that they speak out against it. If they do not, then who will? If they do not bring out these important aspects that needs to be known. And you see, something very simple needs to be understood. It's very simple, but we have to understand it. When it comes to a common sin, if you see sometimes people argue about, why didn't this alim speak out about this here? Why didn't he speak out? He speaks out about this, but he's not speaking about this sin here. Understand something, an alim is not there for every single sin to call out. He is there for when the deen is getting attacked. When the deen, the alim's job is the protector of Sharia, the protector of the deen. So now everyone knows television is haram, Everyone knows music is haram. We're supposed to know that. Yeah? Everyone knows eating pork is haram. So if you see someone, say prominent, or someone posts as their status, they ate pork, do you expect an alim to talk on it? That's common sense. As a Muslim, we know that it's haram. We shouldn't even need to have to talk about it. Like recently, there was a couple comedy festivals that happened in our country, right? And people were saying, why didn't the ulama who normally speak on matters never speak out? Because to the common sense of a Muslim, everyone knows that it's haram, clear cut. There's no need to speak on about it. It's not endangering or trying to change the deen of Islam. But yes, where people are now trying to bring things under the guise of Islam, trying to say this is permissible in Islam, or this is how it should be done, like how the 20 rakat tarawih should be lessened, or where someone says now, women to go to the universities, or for people to appear on television, to watch television, this is part of Islam, or propagation of deen. Now it's the alim's duty now to stand up and say this is not part of Islam. We have to kick it out. We're keeping the deen in its pure, pristine form. So that when our later generations come, our kids, our grandkids, our progeny to come future, inshallah, they will have this pure deen. They will recognize this pure deen. They will have the same deen which we have today. They will have it tomorrow. But if we do not do this here, then what's going to happen? What is going to happen? I know many a times, ulama, after concerns, they've got these senior ulama in our country, and we think to ourselves, what will happen when they go? Who will speak out? Because they have the courage, they have the imani, ghairah. They have that strength and that worry that this deen of theirs, they grew up, they're protecting it. It's like that baby. That baby who we have in front of us, we've taken care of it, we nurtured it. And now when the baby is big, and now when we are about to leave, and now someone is coming to destroy that baby, to come and destroy and harm that baby, that hurt in that heart after all those years of preservation and pursuing and trying hard to keep it safe. Now that feeling that comes in the heart, a person goes crazy that I've worked so hard and now you're going to come overnight and try and destroy it. And that is where we see the ulama al-haq, they speak out on this year. They're not shy. They're not worried of what people will say. But they will speak out against it because they know only for the pleasure of Allah. That I will meet Allah Ta'ala one day and I will know that, oh Allah, I did what I needed. You see, in the Indo-Pak area, when the British came to try and colonize the land, and what was one of the things they wanted? They saw that Islam couldn't be changed. They saw that the Muslims would not budge. They were not following the British Empire, the colonial forces. So they decided the only way to change the Muslims is to change Islam from within. That's the only way we're going to conquer the Muslims. So that's when they made that announcement and they called in so many ulama and they said, we'll give you the money, we'll give you the wealth, we'll give you the whatever you want. But preach what we tell you to preach. Preach what we tell you to preach. Mm-hmm. And ulama in the hundreds and thousands, they refused, blanked out. And this is where the sad history of India, where we go about and we see that on almost every tree had an alim hanging. In the rivers, the alim's bodies were put into sacks and bags and threw into the rivers, and they were fired at in the rivers. The ulama hanged and hanged. And that is why we see Allah Ta'ala took work from these countries. From there, we see the great ulama were born. Deoband was born. And deen spread was used as a revival of deen throughout the world. Wherever they sacrifice, wherever a person holds firm to deen, Allah utilizes that there as a means of hidayah to the whole world. And you see, those that gave in, there were one or two, as we know today, the Qadianis, Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani, was one of those people who became the puppet of the British. And in the very big fitna of our time and the past times, the Ahmadiyyas and the Qadianis. But he gave in to it, and he agreed to it, and then he started propagating whatever the British wanted him. Allah Ta'ala humiliated him. Allah Ta'ala disgraced him. But those ulama that were held firm, as we say, the ulama al-haq, they were rewarded by Allah Ta'ala, and it's through their efforts we see the prospering of deen today. So, wherever we see deen, wherever we see, whatever we are seeing, see it's a concern. Because, as you mentioned yesterday also, we're living in our bubble, and we don't realize that how deen is being changed, or trying to be changed around other areas. That Muslims are not fasting. Muslims are not performing salah. Muslims are thinking this to be permissible in deen. As you mentioned, of identifying sins. How did it come about that we think the television is permissible, that mixing of genders is permissible, that photography is permissible. Where did all of this come from? I mean, if there was no one to tell us and to make sure, you know what, these are all haram. This cannot be done. Then who will have that mindset in the future to think this to be haram? That child is growing up in their home, and he is growing up, and he is only exposed to the television. He is only exposed to his cousins who are now mahrams, always coming by and seeing each other. If they do not tell this child growing up that this is haram and this is not part of Islam, we have to keep our fardha, that child growing up will be permissible. So likewise, whatever is transpiring around us, whatever event is happening around us, whatever we see with our eyes, whatever we don't see, but the ulama are well aware. Sometimes we know, we think, oh, they're sitting in the Darul Uloom or they're sitting in the masjid, they don't know what's happening. Allah, they know more than whatever is happening. Now, just listening to Shaweer Saluji in Darul Uloom Zakaria Jalsa, and we just hear his talk over there, and I'm listening to myself, this man, this wali of Allah, he has such knowledge of what fitna there is in the world. Of everything he highlighted, whether it was the Abrahamic Accord, whether it was his Bella Bella Bill, things which we never even know, as we think we youngsters, we are exposed to the media and things. But in every part of the world, he mentioned the fitna that are happening. So our ulama are well clued up. We should never feel that they don't know what's happening. They know what's happening. Allah Ta'ala makes it such that the news reaches them. And they know what is happening in the world. And with the mashwara of our akabirin, they have the guidance for the ummah. They give the guidance for the ummah going forward. And this is something that needs to be addressed often. That our trust in the ulama. You see, once people lose trust in ulama, then they lost their deen. Once you lose the trust in the ulama, you lost your deen. And it's very, very simple. Very, very simple. Look at that alim who is living his life the closest to sunnah, the closest to the teaching of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is the alim we need to follow. But ourselves, we know already, even though the certain alim might be famous, and he might be well known in the world, and very eloquent in speech, but when we look at his life, even a normal man who is a non-alim, he will have certain red flags that come in his mind, that if he's doing this, he's doing that there. And then we'll just brush it aside. Why? Because you know what, he's an alim, he knows what he's doing. But the red flags automatically will tell us, you know what, stay clear of such a person. Stay clear. We've got ulama of such caliber who, when we look at them, when we think of them, not a single red flag comes in the mind. That is that alim who we have to hold firm to. That is that alim who we have to hold their kurta, we have to hold their hand and tell them, pull us with you. Take us with you. Show us the way. We are blind. You can see, we can't see. And you have the experience of years, of years, of years. Sometimes we look at the ulama who are the seniors of the Darul Uloom and we think they just got there. But go and study their lives. That's why you see the alhamdulillah, beautiful kitab that have been prepared of the ulama of Dioband. And what sacrifices they went through of prison, of torture, of hunger for the deen of Islam. They were not prepared to sell their deen. And in our country ourselves, we look at Muhammad Abdul Hamid, Shabi Salaji, Mufti Rawa, Mufti Ibrahim Salaji, all our seniors, right? Mufti A.S. Desai, Mufti A.K., all of them. We see what sacrifices they've done for deen, and they held firm, they held firm. They never reached this position. This is what we call acceptance from the side of Allah. That Allah Ta'ala has accepted them for the khidmat, for the preservation, for the safekeeping of their deen. So when they speak, don't take it lightly. Don't take it as someone babbling on or someone that's always screaming. But think of that person who is protecting that child. And now they're seeing that child getting attacked. How will their heart feel? They can't tolerate it. They'll never be able to tolerate it. So these issues that are creeping up in deen, if there is no one to speak of it, then there'll be no one to realize the sin. There'll be no one to realize the harm in it that it is doing to the deen of today's generation and the next generations to come. So Allah Ta'ala has made it as part of the system that the ulama-i haqq will always be there, will always be in the forefront, will always stand up, even if they are the minority, but they will stand up to protect the deen. And you always have a feeling of knowing and a taste of knowing what is true and pure deen, as shown to us by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and passed down to us
by the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and all the akabirin after them, that has reached us in its pure original form. A simple, simple question that people ask, or an answer to the question, simple answer, is that we have to keep up with the times, or we have to adjust. Allah Ta'ala said that our deen is complete 1400 years ago. When something is complete, there's no need to adjust. When something is perfect, there's no need to try and change it. That means it is in a perfect, complete form, and it will be such till the day of Qiyamah. There will be no need for adjustment. Actually, we cannot adjust it. We cannot make what halal, haram, and haram, halal. Doing such things, then our iman is at stake, because we are changing the laws of Allah Ta'ala. So when our ulama are speaking out, let us give them that support, because they are doing it for us. They are doing it to guide us. They, alhamdulillah, you know, if they have to sit and they relax now in their old age, and you know what, I've done all I've done, I'm sitting in my own personal ibadat, I don't want to talk out. If I'm going to talk out, people are going to talk out. Let me just relax and stay calm. No, but you see, in their old age, they're still making suffer. They're going to various parts of the world, various parts of the country. They're still sending out their recording. They're still sending out their bayan. For the love of deen, for the concern that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had, how one person can be saved from the fire of Jahannam and can be given entry into Jannah. And give it entry into Jannah. So when our akabirin are speaking, listen carefully, and you see there's no motive behind it. Compared to when we say the world, the people who are popular in the world, people who have gained worldly recognition, when they are speaking on the media platform, or when they are taking out statements, you'll see majority of the time it has to do with emotions. I promise you, pay careful attention. You see, majority of the time, it's to do with the emotions, to attack the emotions of people. That people now become sympathetic, feel sorry, and they say, no, see what a good person this is. Why is people speaking about this? Is there nothing wrong? But now again, our emotions are coming in the forefront. Our criteria is Sharia, straightforward. Our criteria is Sharia. And that's what our akabirin works with. That you see, no matter who you are, it doesn't matter whether you can be your friend even. If you did something against the deen of Islam that's going to tamper the name of the deen of Islam, then you have to adjust it. You have to speak out to let the public know. And on the last point, we'll end up, why it's so important to speak out and why these ulama are doing it. Because if they don't, then the general people will never know, as you said, that it's wrong. Until someone tells you, this is what this person said, is actually not in accordance to Sharia. You'll never know it was never why. Because he looks like a trustable person. He looks like a person of authority. He looks like a person of knowledge. So when you're listening to him or you're reading his article, you think, this is fine, because it seems of a worthy person. But when that Ali now speaks out and tells, there's no proof of this in Islam, and these are all our reasoning, and this is a story, well and good. Actually, they don't have to give us the reasoning given. Who are we to ask a doctor, why are you giving me these tablets? Explain to me. We just accept it and we carry on. So in our ulama, who we have trust in, for years and years, they have created the ulama around us. All the ulama we see in our country today are all from these darul ulum, from these ulama. They are the children of these ulama. So all of them are from there, from that progeny of ulama. So when they are speaking, we don't have to ask them, show us your proof. Why are you saying this? We trust it blindly, because you are the one that made the rest of the ulama of the country. So if we're seeing them, definitely they should be like you. And if you are saying it, then definitely your knowledge is trustable. We don't need you to explain yourself. Just tell us what you need and take it. Alhamdulillah, Mawlana, you have brought a very, very interesting point before our interview, and that never let us get to our actual discussion, what we wanted to. But alhamdulillah, I think it was a very much needed one, especially to what is happening in the world currently in Saudi Arabia, the Taraweeh, and in various parts of the country ourselves. Also, we have the pedal menace that's around, we have the tournament menace that's around, and it needs to be spoken about how to protect pure deen. Deen is not entertainment. Deen is not entertainment. Rather, deen is the sweetness of iman through which you get the pleasure in your heart of the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. And our pleasure and our happiness comes in defending deen, comes in standing up for deen. That, see, that person is speaking against me, but I am so happy that I am fighting for deen. I am standing to preserve deen. Whatever they are saying, I'm not worried. It's actually the means of my happiness. Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala keep our ulama with us for many, many, many years to come. And Allah Ta'ala, when the time comes, Allah Ta'ala let there be a better replacement. Allah Ta'ala let there be a replacement. It holds on to this fervor, the desires and the efforts of our ulama of preserving this pure deen. Allah Ta'ala accept us all, inshallah.
Jazakumullah khairan, Mulana. We didn't expect such a long and lengthy answer because I know Mulana wanted to speak on some other topic, but alhamdulillah, very beneficial. And this is what we need, because sometimes I think there's a major gap, and people don't understand this gap, and they just understand things to be as they, like you've mentioned, if you're not going to speak out, you're never going to know the other side of the coin. And if we just see in Palestine as well, if they never had to now speak out, and if they never had to show this resistance, and if the world didn't have to, wherever it may be, a lot of people speaking out, then this importance and this life that has been given, it would to the Muslimin and to those generally for the kuffar, they also coming to know now that this cannot be done to people, who are living. This is something that's supposed to be rejected with all that it deserves. But if this issue was not brought to the fore, nobody would know that this is the reality and that the plight that ordinary John on the road, he wouldn't know that a Palestinian people are being abused. But because of the awareness, we are able to come to find out about it. And then even a non-Muslim will say, this is unacceptable. You can't even do these things to animals. So that awareness, and as you've mentioned, this is the reason why our ulama has come out and show you that, see, this is the truth. And so many occasions, as Mulana was speaking now, that sometimes we heard of something. For example, just a recent example, yesterday this happened. So I always heard our seniors speaking about, you know, when this incident took place, I think it was in the time of Mulana Masiullah rahmatullah alayhi, or even in the time of Hakimul Ummah, Mulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi rahmatullah alayhi, where there was a particular sheikh, and he instructed his khadims that put the dastarkhan out, and there's visitors coming. So when the sheikh came, he saw the khadims, they didn't respect his instruction. And he said, but why haven't you people responded and did the right thing by the guests is here? They said, please forgive us. There's an ant walking on this dastarkhan, and we were unable to move it, and we didn't want to disturb it either. And just yesterday I saw this hadith, and it comes in Muslim, about a prophet who ordered for the instructed for ants, a colony of ants, to be killed. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed this Nabi that, have you ordered to kill these ants when they are making my tasbih? And you just see, like, there you thought, okay, this is something, maybe it's far-fetched. But look how then hadith of Muslim. And you see everything that they do, they say it's packed in hadith and Quran Sharif. So this is the way we learn Quran and hadith, is through them. People want to just go directly to the Quran. Learn it through these people and you will learn the understanding of it. So alhamdulillah, well presented. Even though unexpected, sometimes the best messages when it's unprepared, and Allah gives tawfiq, then may Allah accept it and give us the understanding of holding on to our pious people when they promoting the truth, Quran, hadith, and all that we need. This is of utmost importance. Jazakumullah khairan, Mulana. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.